Right now it is time for Brian Ross to join us. Of course, it is Real News with Brian. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and, you know, there's just so little to talk about there in the news nowadays. Good morning, Brian.
I'll tell you. Well, there's plenty to talk about. A lot happening around the world, and, of course, in Washington, little is happening other than the push to put through Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. I guess they're going to vote today in committee. Democrats don't plan to show up, and then a full vote on the floor of the Senate expected on Monday.
And that will be behind us for the time being, and that will, of course, lead us to an open gap where we go to the election. But I don't know if you've noticed it, but when I woke up this morning and I read some of the headlines, there's a song by the Four Tops that came into my mind. It's the same old song. I see once again the United States claiming that there's a foreign power, Iran, going to try to defeat Trump, and Russia, of course, trying to elect Trump. But they didn't say that about Russia. They said that about Iran. So that goes back to the Hillary Clinton days. You've got the president talking about putting Joe Biden in jail. That goes back to lock her up, which was happened 4 years ago. This whole playbook has been done before, and I just don't see how it's going to work this year. I really don't.
I think that that program, that show is about to be canceled. You know, the it's not getting good ratings, and it's tired, and I think people are on to the tricks. As to the announcement, the abrupt news conference yesterday by the head of the FBI and the director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, it was not really a news conference. They came out, said a few things, and walked away with not taking no questions at all. So we don't really know what they meant. And there's some concern that I have heard from people I've talked to that what appears to be Iran could well be Saudi Arabia. They often try to make it appear that Iran's doing stuff. We know we don't know, and without answering any questions, it's hard to know precisely what the U.S. Does know about that. But again, I think there's not probably a single American who would say, I changed my vote because of Russia or Iran or Saudi Arabia or China. It's sort of insidious the way that foreign countries are able to sort of get into our heads and amplify very minor points of view and spew the disinformation. The thing that concerned me most about that, what they said yesterday, was the fact that both Russia and Iran, or whoever it is, had obtained U.S. Voter registration lists with an ability to figure out and reach directly into specific individuals. So that just tells you the extent to which Russia and others are prepared to go to try to influence this election. Let's hope that a lot of the stuff that comes out in the next 2 weeks, I think, is just worth ignoring at this point. I think the major networks, if they have a, there's almost no chance that a major story is going to break on their watch, because there are rules about what you do close to the election before. Not able to give people time to respond, not able to check it out thoroughly.
Well, the interesting thing, and I googled the announcement this morning when I read the story, and the FBI director didn't place blame on anybody, but the handpicked
Ratcliffe,
he's the one who made a claim, and it was just, I guess the claim would have just slid right by, except for the fact that the FBI director didn't assign blame or say who was trying to help who, which is the right way to handle it. But
right, and then we read this morning in the Washington Post, at least, that Donald Trump, the President of the United States, is now so angry about all of this, he wants to fire Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, and Attorney General Barr. He thinks that neither one of them done enough to help him.
It's an amazing time we're going through. I did watch Barack Obama speak yesterday, and he did something which is very rarely done, which is actually by name go after a sitting president. But he didn't go after him on policy. He went after him on the way he acts, the way he behaves, the way he charges people with crimes, those things. It was a unique spot, and he said something that's true. We're just tired of this. Everybody's got to be mentally tired with what goes on in the White House.
Exactly. And I think he made a very telling point that, we've become sort of immune to this. We sort of like shrug it off like this is just normal. It's not normal. I mean, we're going to look back on these days, you know, in 4 years, 10 years, and say, what in the world was going on? You know, why did the American people put up with this? You know, there are lots of people who have good reasons to support Trump coming in and perhaps, you know, trying to shake things up in Washington. That's a standard kind of way to get elected. It's the behavior in the office that has been so not normal, and the sort of the lack of dignity. And I think what the Obama point was, and Democrats are making this point now in the final 2 weeks, is a lack of compassion, you know, lack of character.
And when you look at everything as a whole, the next 10 or 11 days just can't go by quick enough. It really can't. I mean, there's just so much that are involved in this. Everything from Rudy Giuliani to, you know, it's that's why people ask me if I'm going to watch the debate tonight. No, I'm not, because, you know, I'm not going to stay up late. I'm not going to stress my body for something for a show we've already seen before.
Well, I am going to watch it for you, so you don't have to get an idea of what's going on, because it's, you know, we're just fascinated by the behavior of the President of the United States. So, you know, how low can he go? Will he be different? His advisors are telling him to cool his jets this time around. He doesn't listen to his advisors, notoriously. And, you know, he have to wonder, as you said when we started talking, what does he think he's doing? Does he think he's got a winning strategy? That's the strange thing for a man who, you know, has sometimes a pretty good sense of what's going on. His hands on the pulse of the country. I think he's misread it completely.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what happens over the course of the next couple of weeks. But while the election does take hold, I mean, one thing which is dominating this election, and whether it's good or bad, is the pandemic and the. The two totally different ways of handling it. That's, I mean, if ever you look at a policy split, which is as black and white as I've ever seen it. I mean, even when you had the Vietnam War, you still had certain Southern Democrats and conservative Democrats that supported the Vietnam War. I mean, we can go down the list, but when you look at the way this administration has handled COVID and the way that the Biden administration would claim that they would handle it, this is really one of the more focal points of a massive difference between the candidates.
Without a doubt. And, you know, in terms of to what extent do scientists get a say, Tony Fauci has a lot to say. He's not being listened to by the White House. And, strangely enough, the president decided to pick a fight with him in the 2 weeks before the election, which is strange. You know, the one thing I do have to say is that, you know, with the same, we see the spikes again now in other countries that thought they had done so well in Europe and elsewhere. And we should remember that it's not all Trump. This is a very, very vicious disease. The spread of this is just very difficult for anyone, good or bad. We could have done, clearly, it seems to us, a lot better in this country. But it's not like it's going to be a snap for Joe Biden, should he be elected.
Well, the whole thing is that, and this, you hate to boil it down to this, but if it had been handled differently, instead of having 225,000 dead, this sounds terrible, but it's true. You would have probably cut that in half, at least, had this country acted quicker, maybe even more. Who knows? But you're right. It's a disease that is not going anywhere anytime soon, and we have to be patient and allow vaccines to come up with. You have to look how much we've learned since the beginning, Brian. When you look at New York City and the way that they tried to handle COVID-19 in the beginning, and now you look at hospitals, there's a totally different way they handle it. They've got a better handle on it. More people are surviving. The death rate is lower, even though now, once again, it's starting to tick up close to 1,000 deaths a day. But people have to remember, 1,000 people a day were dying in New York City in the beginning.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, it's there's better treatments now, and there is good news, I think, on the horizon with the vaccine. It won't be before the election, as the president was pushing, but it could well come by the end of the year, and that's all the good news. We have to just cross our fingers, and as you say, and as you've been saying so well in your various Facebook posts, I mean, we just really have to just suck it up for the moment and, you know, do what's hard, but to try to short-circuit the spread of this disease, which continues to rampage throughout the the country, you know, with the election and Halloween coming, you know, we've really, really get a mask on.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing you just pointed out. It's not only the disease and how it can possibly infect you, but look at what's happening. I mean, it happened with my family, and it's happened now with families all over the country. My sister has been very sick for the past 6 months. We have been unable to go visit her. She passed away yesterday.
Sorry to hear that.
But at least her husband was by her side. But still, now we have to wait. We're in limbo to recognize and to honor her, her life with their family and friends. And this is going on all over the country, not only with deaths, but with weddings, with birthdays, with Thanksgiving coming up. I mean, it's and you wonder why the economy is hurting so much and why Americans, I think, have just finally reached the end of their rope. Really?
Well, there is the fatigue, and it's no time to get you know, to lose sight of what's necessary. It really isn't. Speaking of which, let me be the first to offer you a greeting for happy birthday for tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. I think instead of turning 68, I think I'm going to put my birthday on hold because we lost this year anyways, and I'll celebrate my 68th and 69th next year.
All right, I'll send you a big cake.
Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us again this morning.
You bet.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robinhood Radio. You can also find Brian on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.